Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ed Alexander. Ed, welcome back from Nashville. Ed had a great trip in the Music City in Nashville. It's glad we're very glad to have Ed back on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering our show today. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, April the 28th, 2015. Hope you've had a good start to the week anyway. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, podcast for The Buckmaster Show, always available on my website, buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with a conversation with possible congressional candidate in seat D2, Democrat State Representative and Assistant Minority Leader Bruce Wheeler of Tucson's District Number 10. Certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us at about 20 minutes past the hour with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shelley's back with us in studio after three very nice weeks in Italy. We appreciate his calls every Tuesday. We got a call from Rome, Florence, and Milan, but Shelley's back in good old Tucson. At about 30 past the hour, a check on the Pima County air quality. The dust is kicking up again out there. And we'll close out the show with UA Professor Dr. Albrecht Klassen talking about a very unusual conference in Tucson that he is hosting next week. It's an unusual theme, hygiene and well-being in the Middle Ages and early modern age. People did take baths regularly, apparently, in that period, and not go months at a time without bathing. Buckmaster Live Line 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. State Representative Bruce Wheeler is with me in studio. Bruce, how are you?
I'm fantastic, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Sum up for me, and then I want to move on to other things and your future, possible future political plans. Sum up for me the legislative session that is now history, the shortest session since 1968.
Well, Bill, it was a very disappointing session. We gave the governor the benefit of the doubt at the beginning, but then he went from a draconian budget, which included horrible cuts to all the state universities, 100% cuts to community colleges, JTED, the Joint Technology Education District, which is really key to improving our economy and offering high school students opportunities other than college. The cuts were really harmful. And the cuts to Southern Arizona are going to – cuts or shifts in fees and taxes are going to result in $90 million added burden to the residents and citizens and voters of Southern Arizona. That includes Pima County, City of Tucson, in the form of fees. For instance, the juvenile court costs are being transferred over to Pima County, University of Arizona I mentioned, Pima Community College I mentioned, Tucson Unified School District, $8 million. Next year they want to cut $61 million to try and bankrupt Tucson Unified School District. So all the jurisdictions and the cuts in that budget result in either tax increases, fee increases, or service cuts to the tune of $90 million for the citizens of Southern Arizona.
But of course, Governor Ducey says there was no other choice to balance the budget.
Well, there were plenty of choices. He chose to, unfortunately, use that type of language. There's a rainy day fund of over $400 million. He didn't have to invest in for-profit prisons, for instance, and so he did have choices. Unfortunately, I believe that the extremist agenda, and that's what we're facing here, he is in the model of Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, who he hosted in Phoenix on a couple of occasions, is to cut education funding drastically, and I think it's very harmful to our economy, to our educational opportunities, and to the citizens of the state.
You have talked about and you have formed an exploratory committee to run for CD2 in Congress. Where is that process right now? And I know that you were mentioned in the Politico, a real nice article in Politico, about Arizona races stuck in idle over this redistricting case that's going before and will go before the U.S. Supreme Court. There may be a ruling in June. It basically at stake is whether or not the state's congressional map will be redrawn. But is it your feeling that perhaps the lines that we now have for Congress will pretty much stay as is for 2016?
Well, Bill, first, to answer your question about my campaign shifting into a congressional campaign, I formed an exploratory committee in February, and we are continuing now full bore with that effort. So we have raised donations, we have received endorsements and commitments to our campaign. We have an elections attorney, so we are going full blast, and I'm really, really excited about the opportunity. Right now, the only other person being mentioned as a serious, there are two people actually, Matt Hines and Nan Walden, and I've spoken to both of them very recently on a consistent basis, and they're both thinking about it. So I'm the only one that's out there. One of the issues that you just brought up is the Supreme Court decision that will be coming in June sometime regarding the challenge to Arizona's independent redistricting process. And there are two trains of thought. The predominant one is that worst case scenario, if the Supreme Court decides to rule against the independent redistricting process we do have in Arizona, that it will be too late by the time the mechanism kicks in June of 2016 to redraw the lines for the elections of November 2016. Now, if they do rule against us, then yes, in 2018 the lines might be redrawn. But and that's where we're at on waiting for the Supreme Court decision. So we, you know, there are many unknowns, there are many risks. We cannot afford to wait any longer. We are at the top of the field in the Democratic primary part of this exploratory effort, and we're ready to take on Congresswoman Martha McSally, which will be a very, very difficult and challenging effort, but we have to take it on.
Why do you think you can beat Congresswoman McSally?
Because I don't think she represents the interests of Southern Arizonans. Three issues. One, on the economy. I don't think that her positions on the economy are helpful to opening the doors of opportunity to America's middle class. Number two, Medicare. And number three, Social Security. She has favored Speaker Boehner's efforts to privatize or voucherize both of those really indispensable programs, Medicare and Social Security, upon which people have paid into for their working lives and depend on their retirement. I think she's very vulnerable on those positions. We plan to take her on. But the other issue that is really critical here, and that is my shift from the legislative responsibilities that I have to a candidate, exploratory candidate for Congress, is the extremist agenda in this state and in this country. Bill, we've mentioned the efforts to ban gay marriage in Arizona. Historically, today, the Supreme Court is hearing the arguments to allow or disallow gay marriage as a civil right of all human beings in this state to marry the person that they love. The LGBT discrimination we faced in the legislature in the form of Senate Bill 1062 and other things such as sovereignty and compact issues, extremist legislation on the state level reflect the extremist legislation on the national level. And I'm prepared to take on the national agenda of these extreme issues, immigration being another, that they are not willing to understand the compassionate humanity of allowing children and babies and infants that came to this country, not of their own free will, to at least go to state universities, receive an education, and become productive citizens.
Democratic State Representative Bruce Wheeler is with us. He plans to make a decision, I would assume, in a couple of weeks.
Soon.
Very close.
2 weeks is ready plus or minus.
Ready to make an announcement right now on the Buckmaster Show.
That announcement is, give me about two more weeks, Bill.
Right. Getting back to redrawing the lines for the congressional districts, an independent committee, Independent Redistricting Commission in 2011, drew the current lines for Congress in Arizona. What would be wrong, as the Republican-dominated legislature wants to do, in the legislature drawing it instead of this commission?
Well, can you imagine? I mean, first of all, we have the people of Arizona given the right through the initiative process that was put into the state constitution in 1912 by our founders. recognizing the weaknesses and failures of legislatures and that process, allowing the citizens to pass laws in lieu of legislative failure to do so. So the citizens of Arizona said gerrymandering is a horrible idea. The party in power will draw the lines to their advantage to secure and ensure a majority of legislative or congressional seats in their state. People are smart enough to figure that out. So we voted, as did other states, including California, to have a form of independent process. So we have five members, two Democrats, two Republicans, one independent, chosen by those four members to, instead of having the legislature draw the lines, they draw the lines. So I think the fact that the people of Arizona understood the more basic fairness of that argument rather than the political self-interest and gerrymandering process was key. If the Supreme Court rules against Arizona, Bill, they're also going to be ruling against other states that have similar independent processes, including California's. In California, the opposite is true. The Democrats control the governorship, the Senate, and the House. And so Democrats would lose seats in Arizona if the Supreme Court rules against us. But nationally, Democrats will gain far more seats. I still, as a Democrat, oppose that process of having state legislatures gerrymander, draw their lines to their advantage at the, for instance, not allowing a true representation and proportional representation of voters in a state.
Do you think Democrats will unite behind you, maybe just one candidate rather than a couple or three candidates?
Bill, my hope is that there is a primary because I think it's important to sharpen our skills in the months ahead. Recall, if I don't have a primary, and I cannot see any situation in which there will not be a primary, so I hope there is a primary, a healthy, vigorous debate amongst Democrats to win the best person to win that primary election, because after the primary, there's only about 4 weeks between primary day and early voting for the general election. So a campaign must be sharpened, experienced, staffed, ready to go to take on Congresswoman McSally.
All right, Bruce Wheeler, we will wait for your announcement on your decision in a couple of weeks. Bruce Wheeler, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Bill, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Bruce Wheeler with us at 12:16. Shelley Fishman is up next on our Tuesday edition of Buckmaster. Be right back.
American Openings is pleased to be a sponsor of Good News Radio Broadcasting, featuring local news and information on AM 1030 KVOI, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ on KGMS 940 AM, positive and encouraging music on 88.1 FM K-Love, and pop classics on KCEE 690 AM. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer, concerned about our community and proud to be a partner with Good News Radio to help make our community a better place.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Welcome back, Shelley Fishman, with me in studio after 3 weeks in Italy. Shell, how are you?
Ciao, Guglielmo.
You haven't really gained any weight from all that.
Actually, I weigh the same now that I did when I left.
It's from all the walking.
All the walking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the gelato is better in Italy than it is.
It is. It is
here.
Better in Italy than it is here, and it is better in Florence than anywhere.
Isn't that odd?
Yeah. But you know, gelato is like a taste that some people like a more intense flavor. Others like it sweeter. Some people like it creamier. So, you know, again, every third store on the street sells gelato.
Well, I would like that because I do prefer gelato to ice cream. Okay. So I'm a gelato guy. Let's talk a little bit about something we hear called target-dated funds.
Yeah.
Target to what?
Well, they're targeted to when you think you're going to retire. So, you know, Bill, we talk about allocation as being key to success in investing and sticking with your plan if you can, if you don't need the money right away. So what has developed over the past decade is a group of funds that are targeted to the time that you think you're going to need them, which is typically a retirement date. So, you know, this is 2015. Let's say you're 35 years old and you think you're going to be retiring in, you know, about 25 years from now, or maybe 30 years from now. So you would choose a target-dated fund that has a date, say, 30 years from now. And that's the way the fund is actually marketed, and that's the title of the fund. So it'd be the XX, you know, Fidelity, whatever, 2045 fund. And then the fund managers would manage that investment so that right now it would be fairly aggressive. But as you approach 2045, that fund becomes more and more conservative to protect the downside and lower volatility. And it does that automatically. Now, so in most 401ks today, you have a choice of these target-dated funds. In most major fund families, you have that choice if you're doing the investing yourself. What are the upsides? The upsides are that you don't have to worry about rebalancing. They do it for you. The downside is, of course, they charge for that. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're dealing with these kinds of funds, you have to understand that, number one, they carry the charges that are typical of a mutual fund, which are, you know, very often 1 or 1.25% a year. Plus, they add a little bit on for the charges of managing the rebalancing that goes on. And as you and I have discussed over time, it's not clear to me that these managers do a better job than the index. Mm-hmm. However, there turns out to be kind of a side effect, you know, one of these unexpected consequences that nobody really anticipated. And this time it works in the investor's favor. And that consequence is, because you think it's being managed for you, you tend to ignore it. Now, I'm not a big proponent of ignoring your investments, but if these are retirement investments and we know that you're in it for the long term, you can ride through the ups and downs. And so if you ignore it, you're not working the curve. You're not buying, you know, buying high and selling low. And as, again, we've discussed so many times on this show, the average portfolio underperforms the markets because of people trying to time their purchases and their sales.
Market timing.
Because of fear and greed.
And you're not a big fan of market timing.
No, market timing is not what we do. But what is so critical here with these target-dated funds is that people tend to just hold on. And long-term, that's a better strategy than trying to time them. So if you take a look at the average portfolio of the American investor, and you take a look at those returns, and you take a look at the returns that have now, after 10 years, we can measure in these target-dated funds, the target-dated funds actually outperform the average portfolio. So, you know, something to really take a look at if you are not an actively kind of participating investor and you want to be able to get professional management help, this kind of does that for you.
Well, and so it's pretty much aggressive. If you're like 35 years old, you're on the aggressive end.
Yeah, they're going to be allocated in the range of about 70% equities and other aggressive investments, and about 30% fixed income.
Couldn't your financial advisor do pretty much the same thing?
Your financial advisor could and could probably do it for less money.
Yeah.
But it's then not active. If you and your financial advisor are working together and you're working together very productively, then that could work better for you. But if, for instance, in a 401k where you don't have a financial advisor, you just have the plan and you kind of sign up for it, it's a very good way to get involved in your 401k, which is by definition a retirement plan, and have it managed in such a way that you don't have to worry about it every year.
Shelley Fishman with us, certified financial planner. Shelley, looking at the market while you were gone, it was pretty much typically up and down. The
yep.
roller coaster
yep.
continued.
It kind of is today where it was when I left,
yeah.
Which means I can't be blamed or given credit for anything. No, just kidding. what we've seen is that the market has been reacting with great volatility to signals that don't have any permanence. And so, you know, one day Greece is going to bring down the entire galaxy. The next day, the Greek problem is solved, and we're worrying about the Fed raising interest rates. And so the market has kind of been working in and around that 18,000, using the Dow as an example, that $18,000 mark. We're still above where we started the year, but not a lot above. I remain convinced that the fundamentals are still going to drive this market in a positive direction for the rest of the year, and we're going to see an 8 to 10% increase.
But we can't seem to get that traction
to get
us over that
hit. There doesn't seem to be a floor. And every time we think we're secure, the floor drops out from under us and we dip below whatever we thought the floor was.
But the NASDAQ has done very well.
NASDAQ has done very,
that?
Very well. Well, because it contains sectors, mostly in the high-tech sector, that are much more aggressive and interesting to the average investor and to a lot of the program trading. So the NASDAQ, and I don't know exactly where it is today, but it actually crossed the mark where it was in 2000 when it reached its prior peak. And that was before the dot-com explosion. So it's taken us 15 years to get back to where we were when, you know, hotdog.com went away.
Shelley, what's a good way to reach you?
Well, buckmastershow.com is one very good way. Another good way is go to shelleyfishman.com or just call me, 940-0884. Either way, I will get right back to you and see if it makes sense for us to sit down and talk.
Any jet lag for you?
Until yesterday.
Is it
back on?
Some say it's worse going.
It's always, it's always worse coming back.
Coming back.
Oh yeah. First of all, you can't sleep on the plane because you're flying into the sun.
Oh yeah.
And it, you know, all of a sudden you've got two full days of wakefulness.
A lot of light. You're flying with the light, and going over. It's night, and
Right. You know, you sleep on the plane.
Okay, Shelley. Good to have you back, and I hope the rest of your week is very productive. Good to have you.
Thanks for welcoming me back, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial Planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control reminds you of their patented foaming treatment with an onomatopoeia poem. Termites, oh termites, why must you eat? The homes of Tucson shall not be your treat. Five Star, will your foam help protect? It certainly will, your walls will inject. Foaming your home will get rid of them snappy. Termites go away and our customers happy. Call Five Star, that's Five Star, 886-0045 and fivestartermite.com.
We know what bugs you. Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where they're getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend with the really largest blues, free blues festival in our region in the Southwest. Taj Mahal will be headlining the 20th year celebration of this free Silver City event. Silver City Blues and Bike Festival is May 22nd through the 24th. That is Memorial Day weekend. And so folks are going to be coming from all over the country for this event. We're only 3 hours from Silver City, just east of Tucson, and great places to stay in Silver City like Gila Hot Springs Ranch. You can find out about the full listing of places to stay and the many, many things to do, all the hiking in the Gila Wilderness, at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line Beth Gorman. Beth is the Senior Program Manager, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Beth, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing very well, but I've heard lots of people complaining today about the dust and the wind.
Well, and I'm having some trouble, too, with my voice here. But, what can we do? We do live in the desert. We were blessed in the early part of the year with some rain that helped keep the dust down when we had some windy days. But then just a couple of weeks ago, we did have some wind, and we've dried out a little bit, and we're probably going to be seeing the same thing, same trend, until the monsoon kicks in, where we have dry soil, and so it becomes airborne pretty easily. So that was this year. Last year, as far as our air quality, we did pretty well. We had about 60 days that were considered moderate by EPA standards, and then 2 days that were considered unhealthy, especially for sensitive groups. So it wasn't a terrible year, but we don't like seeing those unhealthy levels. But we're fortunate because most of the time we do have good air quality here in Pima County.
Yeah, we have, for a large city with a million people in the whole Tucson Valley, we have pretty good air quality here, don't we, overall?
Yeah, we do. It's usually over 300 days a year that we have good air quality. And then, as I mentioned, it does go into the moderate range. There was about 60 days where it was in the moderate range last year. But most of the time, we have good air, but we're all part of trying to keep it that way too, and we can all play a part in keeping air quality healthy, by just trying to drive a little bit less every day, or at least once a week, try to do something to drive less, and it's going to help. It'll add up.
Summer is the time when our strong solar radiation, translated for the layman, it gets really hot. causes a reaction that forms something called ground level ozone, and I guess this is a pollutant that we need to keep an eye on.
Definitely, and it's really the problem pollutant that we have here. Beyond the when the winds kick up the dust and the dirt in the air, but ground level ozone, it's something that we can do something about. It happens when we have these pollutants, different pollutants in the air, and then during these hot, still afternoons that we have during the summer, this chemical reaction occurs, this photochemical reaction, and it causes this ozone to be formed. And it's not good for people who are elderly, people who have asthma, who have respiratory disease, and also people who are outside working or outside exercising. So, whatever we can do to try to reduce those motor vehicle emissions, because they contribute to ground level ozone, will really help.
We have a healthy air campaign going, and you were talking briefly about there are ways we can drive less. And for people who do take a pledge to drive less, you might win $100.
Yeah, not bad, huh? Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, it's all to get people thinking about the power that they have on an individual level to help reduce air pollution. And we're trying to get folks just to go online, or they can call me and I'll send them a pledge card, and tell us that you're gonna do something to help reduce air pollution in our community. And you know what we found out is, if you take an average commute, if you just skip that once a week, skip a drive alone commute each week, it'll add up, and you can save 1,000 pounds of air pollution in a year. So we're just trying to get people to think about a way that maybe they could get around, either using the bus, either carpooling, maybe walking on a short trip, or riding their bikes. Don't always think about jumping in the car. There may be other options. Shelley was just telling us about walking in Italy and how that helped him keep his weight down. And we can do the same thing. We don't always have to take a car.
Is it easy to get into this drawing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just go. You can go on our website, which is www.pema.gov/DEQ, and that stands for Department of Environmental Quality. Or you can call me, and my number is 724-7446, and I'll send you an entry card. But you can just go online and enter and just take a pledge that you're going to do something to help keep the air healthy.
Does it seem like a lot of the younger folks are using public transportation perhaps more than those of us who have become so accustomed to the automobile?
Definitely, and the trend is that younger folks are not even purchasing a vehicle. Hmm. They're doing what they can to live close to where they go to school or close to where they work, and they purposely pick locations where they can get public transportation, or it's easy to walk or ride their bikes. So that's a great thing for our air quality, and I think more of us can do that as well.
How is this Pima County Loop project along the Santa Cruz Riverbed coming?
It's really exciting. There's more and more sections are being opened, and if it's a multi-use path, you can ride your bike, you can walk, you can skate. And it started at the Rito River Path, and then that's joined now with the Santa Cruz River Path, and then we've got the Julian Wash in there and the Pantano, and someday, hopefully very soon, it's all going to be connected. But right now, we're celebrating on Saturday, this Saturday, from 9 to noon, the Paseo de las Iglesias ribbon cutting, and that's the section from downtown, from Silver Lake to Ajo. So it's a 7-mile section that's going to be, basically the ribbon cutting is going to happen on Saturday morning, and there's going to be all kinds of activities going on. There'll be walking tours. There's a lot of history in that area. So there'll be some archaeology people there talking about the history and also ecology of that area. And they planted 10,000 plants and trees and bushes in that area. So it's going to be beautiful when all those trees grow in and the vegetation covers the soil. It'll be a wonderful place to walk and exercise.
Beth Gorman with us from Pima County, the Department of Environmental Quality. In previous visits to this program, we've had a caller who has asked about the plume, the TCE plume. Do you have any updates on that, Beth?
I do. And that's, you know, we're talking about the TCE, the groundwater contamination that occurred many, many years ago in the airport area. And there's a group that meets on a quarterly basis, and everybody's welcome to go to those meetings. It's basically at El Pueblo Neighborhood Center, and that's near I-19 in Irvington. The next meeting is July 15th at 5:30, and everyone's welcome to come. We also have information on the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality website in the water section. And if you just look for the link for the TIAA Superfund site, you'll see lots of information there as well.
Okay, Beth Gorman. So generally, getting back to our air quality, we did pretty well in 2014. And do you keep that as an ongoing month-to-month thing? Do you have any idea how we're doing in 2015? Or do we kind of wait to the end of the year to find out how we've done so far?
Well, so far we've done very well. And I think most of that is because we did have those lovely rains during the winter, and they helped stabilize the soil so that when we have the winds, we don't get a lot of dust. And then, as we mentioned, with the ground-level ozone, you really need very, very strong solar radiation for that pollutant to be formed. So we don't have a problem with it in the early months of the year. So we're right now going to start our ground-level ozone season. So this is the time when people can really start making plans to try to reduce the emissions that they create that help to form this pollutant. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But the summertime tends to be the time that we have our more serious air pollution problems.
Okay. Beth Gorman, and again, your website, pima.gov/DEQ, will get you to the website and then a chance to win a $100 gift card drawing.
All right.
Thank you, Beth. Yes.
Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate it.
Beth Gorman with us on The Buckmaster Show. I'm looking forward to our next segment. We'll be talking with Dr. Albrecht Klassen from the Department of German Studies about a very interesting conference that will be held in Tucson at the University of Arizona that Dr. Klassen is going to be organizing and will be hosting. That's next on Tuesday on Buckmaster.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Life on Earth exists in a delicate balance. Earth is a closed system. That's why it's so important to find ways to replenish resources as we use them. At the University of Arizona Biosphere 2, we study ways to sustainably replenish and reuse every day. See sustainability in action this April for Earth Month activities at Biosphere 2. Find us online at biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, the monthly visit with Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine, plus a new book exploring what Western movies say about our culture. It's on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and anywhere in the world live streaming podcasts and show archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push toward 12:49 on this Tuesday afternoon. A very interesting and unusual conference is going to be held in Tucson. The organizer and chair is Dr. Albrecht Clausen, who is with the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona, where he is a university distinguished professor. Dr. Clausen joins us now on the Buckmaster Live Line. Al, how are you?
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be online with you.
The program and the conference that you have coming up is about hygiene, medicine, and well-being in the Middle Ages and early modern age. And most people believe, it could be just a modern myth. I'm sure you're going to correct us here, yes. But the perception is that people in the past rarely bathed.
That's right. People have all kinds of wild ideas, and mostly they try to project their past world, whatever past world, as terrible, dirty, ignorant. And we are going to talk about various ways how people in the past really maintained high level of hygiene despite all the modern myths. We really try to inform people and inject a new understanding of that past world as a very fascinating and interesting culture.
So many of us in modern society, of course, bathe every day. Some people bathe a couple of times a day. What would it be like back in the Middle Ages?
It's very hard to say because we do not have very concrete information and data. But we know, of course, the more money you had, the more baths were available. And we do have lots of images, for example, that show us good examples. But I have the best example for you. We all know this phrase, do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's the common saying. And we know that it goes back specifically to 1521, when it was coined for the first time. And it is just a satirical way of expressing, don't be foolish. When you criticize something, don't cause damage to yourself. And so we have here just a satirical phrase, but we have images that show then a bath maid having a tiny little vessel with which she just throws out the baby. It was just a satirical statement. So what we know then about the real bath culture is much more complex. The doctors talked about it. We had public baths. We had spas. People were traveling to spas already in the Middle Ages. Private homes had spas. Of course, costly. And of course, probably the farmers didn't have the same level of hygiene at that time as we are used to. But the more money you had, of course, they knew exactly how to keep healthy and to treat your body well. The fascinating aspect, people were taking baths all the time. It was more costly. They needed to heat the water. It was more cumbersome. But absolutely, the people would not have survived until today if they didn't have that. So we are going to look at many different aspects. And I hope that the public will take that as an encouragement to come and listen to some of the talks. The program is online on my webpage. And so I hope to attract also the audience, the public audience.
What is the venue for this? Let's tell the public where they can come.
We will meet Friday and Saturday from about 9:15 or 9:30 every day, Friday and Saturday. We will meet in Cesar Chavez building, which is just southeast of Old Main, in room 111. So the public is absolutely invited. We would be delighted to show them really what scholarship does, what medieval studies do really here at this university, where we do have really strong emphasis on medieval studies. I'm inviting my students as well, so I think it will be a fantastic event. We have scholars coming from Czech Republic, Italy, England, Germany, from all over the United States. But it will be very relaxed and very pleasant atmosphere. So I think people will enjoy this very much, to see really good, solid research.
Dr. Claussen, people think of the Middle Ages as people being really, the life expectancy was very short, and it was a dangerous time, and people were filthy, and they were always sick. I mean, was there some kind of a functioning medical system in place where they perhaps used herbal remedies?
You might have heard of the recent discovery. It was all over the internet that a medical researcher and a medievalist discovered that some Anglo-Saxon recipe books contained recipes for a very strange and difficult disease, and they tried to replicate the medieval recipe, and it was very weird, and it worked. Just worked. It had the right chemical compositions, and so we do have an extensive exploration of medical research. Arabs brought a lot of new, exciting medical research to Europe in the 12th century. So we had extensive medical schools, medical universities even. It's just very easy nowadays for people to put down others. You know, if you want to denigrate others, you simply say they smell badly. Or they are, you know, this is a common thing people have always said about others. And that's a prejudice, which we try to dismiss altogether.
I want to touch back on what you just said. That was all over the internet. It was fascinating. And they were talking about the really nasty infection that many people pick up in medical settings. And in modern hospitals, it's known as MRSA.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
It is really, really difficult to get rid of a MRSA. But apparently, back in the olden times, in the Middle Ages, they had a way for dealing with this.
Yeah, and you know, I would like to compare the Middle Ages in a way with the Amazon rainforest, in the way that we follow such a rigid, scientific, rational approach in solving these issues, whereas there are many, many different ways, and the jungle, for example, contains so many different flowers and plants and critters and who knows what, just like the Middle Ages, alternative approaches. It's not necessarily better, absolutely not. Absolutely, it was far behind what we have today, but they also coped. They had all kinds of different approaches. Not that we want to replace modern medicine, but at least look at their way of handling issues and what means they had available. And sometimes we come across really surprising alternative and effective ways. So that's, I think, really most important, hence my comparison with the Amazon rainforest. You never know what we find, what kind of plants.
Dr. Claussen, were there physicians in the Middle Ages that people would go to in their village?
All over the place, particularly in cities, and we had universities. Actually, in the earlier Middle Ages, mostly Jewish doctors. Very, very interesting. They were much more learned and better doctors than the Christian doctors, as far as we can tell. Mm. But in the course of time, we have then really medical universities, such as the University of Montpellier in southern France. So by the 15th century, for example, we know that they were doing the first successful cesarean sections. The mothers even survived. So they were kind of really a wide range of things. We have to be very distrustful of what you see in modern movies, of just crazy doctors who just believe God and everything is going its course. That's not the way. It's hilarious sometimes.
Well, you have been so successful at the University of Arizona. You are world-renowned. You are a treasure for Tucson. You lead your groups that you've been leading over the summers. That is such a popular item. Are you going to Europe again this summer?
Absolutely. It's an expensive enterprise, but we're taking 15 students across Europe. We'll visit 7 different countries. Mm. In a way, we're going on a pilgrimage. I mean, not religious in religious terms, but really trying to find the roots of our own culture, and we go to Spain, Andorra, France, Switzerland, Germany, Czech Republic, Poland, and then end up once again in Berlin in Germany. And students will have the great, great opportunity to experience the past by putting their hands on. It's like a historical lab situation.
Well, you are a superstar of teaching at the University of Arizona. Everybody loves you, and you're always a great interview. And quickly tell me, and I've only got 30 seconds, why did you get into the field of Middle Eastern and early modern age? What resonated with you?
I have a very simple metaphor. It is like a lens, and we're looking, instead of into microbes, we're looking into the past. In order to understand our own present and the future, we need to have the ability to look backwards and learn from the past and thereby look into our own world and into the future. I think that's where students get really excited. I provide them with answers.
Okay, the public invited to the conference starting on Friday. Again, quickly, give me the details of the conference.
Friday, 9:30. Saturday, a little bit early, 9:15, Chavez 111. That is the Cesar Chavez building, and room 111.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Claussen.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Al Claussen with us. He's always really puts history into such a wonderful area that we can certainly understand it. The Buckmaster Show wishes to thank our friends over at Perfection Auto Works, perfectionautoworks.com. It's Mike Emery and his great team. They do such a great job with all the foreign and domestic automobiles. One block south of Speedway at 1046 North Beverly. Free 26-point inspection for Mike and the team at Perfection Auto Works. Mike Shaw comes up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone 8 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster, and Ed Alexander 12:04 tomorrow. Till then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.